If you or a loved one has had thoughts of self-harm, please call the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-8255 or visit suicidepreventionlifeline.org.
Due to the graphic nature of this program, listener discretion is advised.
Suplex City Limits! Suplex City Limits! Suplex City Limits! Suplex City Limits!
Esteemed host, Jim Vicious.
I learned a lot from my brothers, like suicide locations.
And Tyler Fudge.
I mean, Impact did it best when they put him in that manic suit. That way, you know, you don't have to look at his stupid face.
Suplex City Limits.
Welcome, thank you for downloading episode 224 of Suplex City Limits for July 27th, 2019. Bitch, I'm high. It's your boy, the King of Bong Style, Jim Vicious, and he's one of Canada's greatest exports. My co-host.
Smoking those export aid darts. He's Tyler Fudge.
He buys some fucking darts on the res or what?
No, export aid is just my favorite brand of cigarettes. They're amazing. Export aid gold.
There you go.
It's better than all your American cigarettes.
The fuck out of here.
Oh, yeah. American cigarettes are garbage. I hate them. When I went to Cuba, I took a carton of my cigarettes because I didn't want to smoke American cigarettes.
Fuck. Talking that shit. Suplex City Limits available for listening of our fine podcasts are found. You can follow me on the show Twitter at Suplex City Limit. Follow Tyler at the Federation. If you like the show, consider supporting us by picking up a t-shirt at Pro Wrestling Tees. You can also donate on our PayPal, suplexcitylimits@gmail.com. Like bad motherfuckers, Big Body Sam, Deep in Your Snatch, Cody Hatch, and Aaron Echoes. You can also donate on our Patreon, become a producer of the show, get yourself a shout out, and maybe a flattering or maybe an unflattering nickname, depending on.
Yeah, it all depends on what rhymes with your name.
Yeah,
so
I guess there's what I come up with on the fly.
Yeah.
Like bad motherfuckers. He's not balding. Christopher Spaulding, Seed Money. Good. Caleb, you should see the size of his organ field, Morgan Field.
Good.
B Rad Brad.
Good.
Plain Vanilla Martin Corns, he gave himself a nickname.
I don't know if that one's good. I guess you could say that one's bad. Like unflattering. I'm keeping track of which ones are good and which ones are bad.
Of course, you got the Smack It Down podcast. Check them out if our podcasts are found. They cover a lot of stuff that we don't. WXW, they cover a lot of progress. So check them out. The Incredible Bulk, Deshaun Balea. Infamous Chris Savage. He also gave himself the infamous.
Well, I mean, so it's not a bad, you know, it's not unflattering.
Kick-ass Keith Martin. The Rice-A-Roni, Jabroni, Ty Loney, Insane Ian Jackson, Jumpin' Jeremy Fultz, and we welcome Scary Terry Ansel to the Patreon.
It's about a 50-50 chance that you can get an
Lord, Terry Ansel.
You can even call him the King of Mark Tank, Terry Ansel.
Yeah, brought to you by, he sponsors Mark Tank, though. This week on the show, we'll be talking some G1. We've got a lot of news. We've got the top three, a pretty fucking epic Mark Tank, and a whole lot more. I ate edibles. I went to Marilyn Manson concert.
Good.
In 2019. Also, Rob Zombie, who's also very old.
Yeah,
he fell down, hurt himself as well.
Did he?
So maybe we'll talk about that at the end of the show. Raw reunion. I watched it. And fast forward, but
I didn't.
Oh, I'll tell you all about it. So let's get into this shit as we do every week with the top three after a word from our sponsor.
My brothers taught me about wrestling, but I taught them about eating.
So he brought us to Pizza Inn's all-you-can-eat buffet.
You get hot, fresh pizza.
Thin crust or pan.
Plus, there's plenty of spaghetti, garlic toast, and a salad bar.
All for a super low price. That's why I'm paying today. Kev, let me pay.
I'll pay for this one. You two pay for the pizza to go.
Pizza to go? I thought you were full.
These are for Dad.
Yeah, sure.
For pizza out in Pizza Inn.
Yeah.
Suplex City Limits
Top 3
I don't know where Jim went.
Suplex City Limits Top 3 6-star podcast, Nelson rated. Our top 3 matches of the week. I learned a lot from my brothers, like suicide locations.
I'm glad you realized who these guys were. Devon Eriks.
Fucking no charisma whatsoever, those motherfuckers.
No, none whatsoever.
I thought you were full.
full of cum in my ass.
I learned a lot from my brothers, like ways to kill yourself. SEO Hall of Famer, Von Erich family. Fuck it. I bet Fritz doesn't even eat pizza.
Like, why is that?
I don't know. I just don't see Fritz sitting down for a hot slice, man.
Well, you look at it. You know, Fritz got that claw, right? It's hard to claw pizza. That's why he likes, like, burgers. Or, like, big potatoes.
You think Fritz like pineapple on his pizza? He probably fucking...
No.
Give you the claw if you put pineapple on his pizza.
Without a fucking doubt. Which is what you should do to anybody that puts pineapple on their pizza.
I like pineapple on pizza.
I don't at all. Like, I got and nothing
a hot
against...
dog's not a sandwich, motherfucker.
That was more of a... I had to keep up with my original statement of a hot dog being the most decadent sandwich. And I didn't want to turn around on that statement, so I dug my heels in. I started just coming up with wild reasons that hot dogs could be sandwiches.
Yeah, different time here. I was going to do it later, but SEL poll of the week. You can vote on them. I try to do a poll every week. Sometimes it doesn't happen. But, you know, is a hot dog a sandwich? 346 votes. 73% say no. 27% say yes.
Yeah, I mean...
That's... Do you see a guy from the North American World Meat Council agreed to be on the show to talk about hot dogs?
Are you serious?
Yeah. Someone tagged him in it, and like he's an official guy. He's got this official title, and he's like, oh, I'd love to come on and talk about whether it's a sandwich or not. And fuck, man. If you have enough followers
on Twitter, if he showed up
on your show, period, they don't give a fuck. They're like, how many followers? Sure. I'd love to come on your obscene wrestling podcast and talk about fucking hot dogs.
Oh, can you imagine what he would have thought once he got here and realized what he's in for?
You've made a fucking grave mistake. Yeah. The top three, holy shit. We're very meandering start.
I'm stoned as shit.
Yeah, dude. Oh, we didn't even do that yet. God damn it.
No, we didn't. That's because we're stoned.
Yeah. All right. Well, you know, we'll do either of the week after the top three.
Yeah.
Top three. Okada, Ospreay, it's the tits.
Well, what else did you expect, really? It was fantastic. I think I would have done Ospreay over Okada, like flukishly, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But because the crowd was so into Ospreay. He's a good replacement for Kenny Omega in that whole ilk, that whole situation, I guess, story. There always is one big foreign guy, so
yeah. I thought when it ended, though, I was like, okay, do I genuinely feel like I would have put Ospreay over, or did they do such a good job making me want Ospreay that I'm thinking that, you know?
Yeah, no, 100%. I agree. I know some of the highlights from this was like Okada goes for the Rainmaker. He hits everybody. Everybody gets hit by the Rainmaker. Might not put him away the first time, but he'll eventually get him. But when he went for this Rainmaker, Ospreay turns it into a Spanish fly. That was that blew my goddamn mind. Just how effortlessly they went through that and just how great that whole sprint looked. Ospreay and Okada have such great chemistry together. I'll watch a match by them any day.
Yeah, no shit. This is, people are saying the best match of the G1 so far. I'm still sticking with Moxley Ishii because that's more my style of shit.
Mm, yeah.
But I could see it. This is that kind of New Japan match that I guess New Japan fans like, or a lot of people like, you know?
Yeah. So. I'm a big fan of this style of wrestling. I'll be the first to admit. But yeah, no, this is fantastic though.
Yeah. I like it too. It's just not my main shit. I'll take Moxley and Ishii beating the shit out of each other for like 15, 20 over, you know, these like long 60 minute Omega Okada matches. Like they're great, obviously. But like, that's not my favorite shit.
Now, I don't want to see a 60-minute great match every week. You know what I mean? I don't want to see that, you know, necessarily every month.
Yeah, but we probably started with the best match of the week, too. Sorry.
I don't agree at all.
Ooh. What else you got?
Let's save the best match, I guess. Jon Moxley and Shingo Takagi. That match was another great one. I wouldn't put it up there with Ospreay and Okada, but fuck, was it great.
Took them a little while to get going. Yes. In the beginning, there was a couple of things that I was like, not fucking botches or anything, but you could tell they're kind of getting the hang of each other.
Yeah.
I love, again, with when Moxley gets in the ring, he always goes fucking head-to-head with somebody. You know, it's like he's ready to fight, man.
Yeah.
It's good. Well, so fucking good.
Well, that's what an unhinged character would do. You know what I mean? Like, you could even argue that an unhinged character could even just attack before the, you know what I mean? Just go before the bell even starts. But, like, at least now he's sticking true to character instead of being wacky Dean Ambrose in WWE.
Yeah. I still, every time I watch him, I'm still baffled that it went from, like, a Dean Ambrose, a dude nobody gives a fuck about, hate his matches, hate all his shit, to He's the front runner for my SCL Awards fucking wrestler of the year.
There you go, which we soon got to get on and start getting figured out because it takes a long time. Year.
My favorite fucking episode of the year.
So yeah, I'm sure. You just love it, hey? You love all the work I have to do for that one.
Well, we don't have to do work. Remember how we're doing it anyway, like we did last year.
What did we do last year?
We have 25 categories, and then you, myself, and Jared all fucking roll in, and we all give our winners.
All right.
Yeah, we don't do that. 1 year we did that crazy fuck. No, we're not doing
that. The voting and everything? Yeah.
Yeah. No, just me, you, and Jared. You know what we should fucking do is get Mr. Travis Fudge.
I mean, we could.
Do a fucking four-way.
We could. It's usually a bit easier in the Christmas time, too. Because that's when it is, usually. Well, isn't that what we did the last week of January or something, during that slow week?
Last week of the...
week of December.
You go.
Yeah. Wrestling.
I'm trying to fucking keep us on point. This match was really good. Moxley's fucking awesome, and I feel bad for people who don't watch New Japan, and they're just missing how this dude left and has turned into this just fucking awesome character, and his matches are awesome too.
Yeah, no, they really are. They've got a lot. It's so many little things that he does now that just adds to the match. It's still the same Jon Moxley, but at the same time, there's nuances and he goes about things a little bit differently. It just makes everything just vastly greater. And
Can he be my comeback of the year as well? I suppose he could, right?
You could. Yeah, I think so, 100%. Now, there's...
The guy who was upper mid-card WWE leaves and he gets my comeback of the year.
You know, like, and, you know, if you ask Magnum TA, he would just say,
I'm going to come on you like nobody's ever come on you before.
That's his comeback.
Yeah. Fucking A. And the best match of the week, I guess. You know, I'm not saying you're wrong. Pac versus Ben Kay.
I guess. I thought that I picked this match mainly for certain things that I seen in it. Like the way you got Pac in the corner and Ben Kay is trying to beat on him in the corner. With normally, and like, let's take a WWE match, an AEW match, most other matches, the person is just going to stay in the corner while they beat on him. Not in this match. Pac is, he keeps on going to a different corner. Like, he'll get kicked by Benkei. It's like, oh, fuck, that hurt. I'm going away. And he goes over to another corner. Benkei's got to follow him then. And then he does something else. Pac will fall. And he'll leave and go to the other corner. He's trying not to stay in the corner. It's just, it just makes so much more sense. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Even before the match started, it was better than, you know,
with that
the
shot.
Motion you see. Oh my God, I made it. I think it's still the picture of the group.
Mm-hmm.
It is so fucking good. The challenger Benkei is in the ring, and it's just behind him, but it's just his face in the foreground, and then way the fuck down in foreground. I don't know, whatever.
Yeah, foreground would be the front. Yeah,
all right. And the champion Pac is coming out, and he's fucking. I don't know. This shot is amazing, dude. Yeah. It's amazing.
Yeah, it is a good shot. The those Japanese companies have a fantastic production style. Yeah.
I really liked the match. I thought the commentary for this show was pretty good. Made me aware that they were, you know, in a faction, and Benkei was kind of looked at as the weak guy in the faction.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Red. I don't know a huge amount about R.E.D. or Red or whatever they want to call him. But I do know, I think Shingo Takagi was a part of it as well before he came to New Japan.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
They even sold the fact that Pac has been undefeated for 20 months.
Yeah. Commentary was pretty good, man. Rich Zucchini and I don't know, whoever the other guy was.
I can't remember who the other guy was either, but Rich Zucchini did great.
Yeah. At one point, Benkei spears Pac off the apron. He does that Big E fucking spear.
Yeah.
Except to a concrete fucking floor, dude.
it's a much dangerous aspect, for sure.
Guys are out of their fucking minds, dude.
Hey.
That's the kind of dedication that I can get behind.
And he's only been wrestling for, what, 2-3 years or something like that?
3 years, which I didn't know while watching it, but, you know, it doesn't surprise me that much. Like, is he great for 3 years? Obviously. But is he, like, fully fucking there yet? No.
No. You know? No. He's the case. He's basically, you can look at it like he's their Okada. You know what I mean? Like, he's the young guy that they're going to push right now to try to elevate to that level. And
I don't know.
Oh, I mean, I'm not saying he is Okada. He's going to be treated like Okada.
No, right, but I just don't know. His name is Benkei, which, like, that sucks. I mean, at least from an American point of view, I mean, maybe it's something over there, but, like, your name is Ben, you know?
Yeah.
And to me, he's pretty much a nondescript Japanese dude, you know?
Yeah, no, he is pretty plain.
You know, but we don't get the whole thing either, you know? But
no.
That's where you got to go to get to that next level. That's where, like, fucking Rainmaker Okada or Nakamura, you know, it's like, doesn't speak the language. We don't really know what he's talking about most of the time, but there's still enough there to, like, this dude can't be just Benkei who will just, like, walks down to the ring, you know?
No, I agree. Hopefully there will be some kind of evolution, and or, like, I need to watch more Dragon Gate, essentially, but now that they got English commentary, it's going to make it more accessible, because it's impossible to know what's going on in Dragon Gate, and that's the barrier between me watching more Dragon Gate, really, is just because I can't get into it.
Yeah, and I guess, I mean, that was the only match I watched off the card, but people were saying the rest of the card was really fucking good.
I heard that, because I'm in the same boat. This is the only match I've seen, because I don't subscribe to their streaming service, so
yeah,
it's really hard to watch the whole show, you know. So I did find this match, and it was quite good.
Once we find out how many shows are going to be having which commentary, is it, like, you know, one a month? If there's going to be a big English show once a month, yeah, maybe, you know, subscribe to that or something.
Yeah, if I hope that's what they're going to do, or at least that's what they're going to strive to do, you know, because I mean, it's the audience is out there.
I had to give fucking Impact $8 for pay-per-view take two, because we slowed down on recording. Still got to watch this fucking show. But anyway, so that's the top three. Really good week in wrestling
yes.
from Japan.
Yes, it really was. He had the well, two nights of the G1, I guess. Night 7 and Night 8, I believe, is what they were. And then, of course, there was the Okada Kenta match last night that obviously we'll save for next week's G1.
Yep.
Or next week's top three, I'm sure.
But yeah, weed of the week. Over here, I'm rocking some Cherry AK-47 with its reddish purple characteristics and cherry aroma. It's no wonder how Cherry AK-47 got its name. The buds have gold coloring with lime green leaves layered with, wow, a trichome heads?
Ooh.
I just smoked this shit. I'm no fucking scientist. Got a THC level up to 16%. Shit. It creeps up from a cerebral effect to a complete body sensation.
Yeah. I am smoking Monster Cookies. It is an 80% cross between Girl Scout Cookies and Granddaddy Purple. It has jarring dose of euphoria and relaxation. And it's going to have hues of purple and green weave together under a silver blanket of crystal trichomes, colors that continue to darken with maturation. Calming sedation wells up over time, making the strain ideal for late night use. And here I am, smoking it at 10 o'clock in the morning.
Yep. Yeah, dude. Yeah, boy.
Freeze. How low can you go? Sorry, I had to continue.
Fuck it, man. That's what Saturdays are for, man.
You're right. You're right. And
in my world, they have been for the last 20 years, is get high as fuck all day long. Boom, Saturday.
Saturday. Well, and now, too, I don't work weekends, so that's pretty dope.
There you go. Moving on from there, it's time to move into the news.
This week in the news, Impact tries to buy Access and the Uso Penitentiary is full. Over to you, Jim.
I'm Jim Vicious, and this is news to us. Let's just start it off with Jimmy Uso, a.k.a. Jonathan Fatu, yes. Arrested for DUI. Dude, that time's driving over 100 miles an hour, as reported by an undercover officer. Clocked officially at 86 in a 45?
Something like that, yeah. At one point, dude. Was doing 100 miles per hour. That's what I heard.
What the
like,
fuck?
That's fucking ridiculous. Like, I get it. In the States, me and Travis were leaving California, and we got a ticket doing 120 and an 80. But, I mean,
why?
Whatever. Thinking that the computer in the car wasn't turned over. So when it said 80, he was looking at the thing in the car because it was at one point changed from, because it's just a digital dashboard. It was changed to miles and it got changed back over to kilometers. And so he was looking at the kilometers as we were driving down the road. And Obviously 80, like the whatever it was. Blah blah blah, whatever. Right? Like it was like there was somehow I was asleep through most of it. So
Jesus,
the whole thing's phased to me. All I know is we got pulled over and never got a ticket because we charmed them because we're Canadian charmers.
You will recall in February he had a drunken dispute with police where
yes.
they thought he was going to try to fight them. This is his second DUI. His brother's also had a DUI.
Yes, and the last time they got pulled over, Naomi was driving, and apparently she was a little tipsy, too.
WWE, you know, just, that's it. It's what he does on his time. It's his own deal. He's responsible for himself.
Yeah.
I already was prepared to come in here and shit on that whole thing they did with Cena on Monday.
Yeah.
Where he makes fun of their mugshots and they laugh, which that part of it alone. Okay, why do they laugh about that with him? They're like, oh, shit, John, you got us. You know, like, what the fuck is that, man?
Yeah.
But it also makes a joke out of the fact that, like, oh, these guys drive drunk all the fucking time. It was very distasteful and just fucking stupid.
It was.
And then made even worse by this. Like, fucking ridiculous, man.
Yeah, I mean, it's bad. You know, like this guy, obviously a piece of shit.
Just makes him a piece of shit.
I think so. Yeah. For myself, yeah. I would say if you can't learn your lesson from driving completely fucking ham to your mind.
Yeah. I mean, back in the day when we were young, I mean, I recall times where I drove ham, but I was also like 20, 22, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, not that it makes it an excuse, but
no.
Yeah, people fucking die. Tons of innocent people die from drunk drivers. You know, I mean, my mother and stepfather were in a head-on collision.
Not that long ago.
Yeah, right. He was, I think, partially drunk. I mean, there's just people die every fucking day because of drunk driving. So, don't be fucking dumb. You know. Yeah, if you want to be fucked up and drive, just get baked and drive like I do. I'm a pro at that shit. I delivered pizza for many years, stoned to the bejesus every day. Like, I'm a professional weed driver.
Well, and I'm not condoning it, but it's completely different than being drunk because you can't compare somebody who is brand new to smoking. They get stoned. Sure. No.
Yeah, no. Yeah,
don't drive. You can't drive at all. But there's a difference. Once you build up a tolerance, weed doesn't have that same effect anymore. Weed kind of just mellows. So
yeah, I believe that I should be able to go up there, smoke a J in the parking lot, then take the driving test, and if I can pass it, then I can drive high.
Yeah, boy.
Special weed license.
It's green.
Uh-huh. Yeah, not the case.
You get pulled over. You get pulled over, and the officer asks for your license. He's like, "Hey, it smells like weed in here. Can I see your license?" "You sure can, officer." You take it out and you hand it to him. He looks at it. It's a green hologram one. It's got a little weed cut out on the top, like a little crown. And he's like, "Sir, you have yourself a nice day. I'll see you later."
Yeah. So somebody needs to do something about this fucking, you know, I don't know. It's pretty shitty. And I guess WWE doesn't do anything anymore. Like, this is not an issue. They don't
spend. Well, I mean, unless it's weed, I guess. RVD got found with some weed and fuck.
Right, yeah. people also, Eva Marie, Roman Reigns, 30 days for testing positive for Adderall.
That's, I mean, and despite Eva Marie claiming she even had a prescription. So.
Yeah.
That's a little odd, but hey, you know, I guess living again.
A little bit like people who would never smoke weed, but they're like taking fucking pills and shit. Look down on weed and shit, but take 5 pills a day to fucking wake up and go to bed and go to Walmart and shit.
I gotta take a pill. Gotta take my Walmart pill.
Yeah. So there's that. What was the other big story?
What was the other big story? I can't remember even what I said now.
Doesn't matter. Wrestle Circus.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, that's the talk about professionalism. We could talk about
Wrestle Circus. Was supposed to have a show on the 28th, which is fucking 3 days away from the time of the story breaking. They just closed down. Nobody had heard from, I guess this guy's name is Al, the dude who runs it. Nobody had heard from him for weeks. He left some people high and dry with flights and some bullshit. So,
yeah,
pretty shitty. Wrestling Circus, I did watch a few shows on Twitch, and they're pretty fun, but it was just that super indie sort of thing.
Yeah, there was nothing outstanding about it. If you like American indie, you'll more than likely like this. But, I mean, thankfully, GCW swiped in and helped guys with flights. So,
yeah.
I mean, that's pretty dope. GCW seeming to be the big brother of the indie promotions these days.
Yeah. Al Lenhart. It had went out of fucking business before, and he brought it back. So, out of business twice.
Yeah. Fair enough. Maybe something's wrong there.
He was advised against bringing it back by his most trusted peers, and it was his own personal and private life that led to its downfall, so...
Oh, fair enough.
Yeah, the show had supposed to have a bunch of AEW and Impact people. Main event was SCU taking on the Rascals. So Tessa Blanchard, Jessica Havoc, Darby Allin, Priscilla Kelly. So a lot of names. So yeah, that's unfortunate.
Yeah, I mean, it's a shame, but it happens, especially in today's age where you got companies really vying and picking up a lot of guys, it's making the indies have to create new stars, and you can't just make them overnight.
Right. NWA splits from Ring of Honor.
Yeah.
Said to be looking to launch weekly TV, because that's what we need in this world is more.
Yeah.
Weekly. They only have like three wrestlers, dude. Who are you going to sign?
I know.
Now is the worst time to try to do something like that. Because, yeah. Like, who the fuck are you going to sign?
Yeah, it's just Billy Corgan think he can do it because he's Billy Corgan. That's it. That's all it is. I got no interest in NWA whatsoever. Will I watch that TV show if it gets made? No.
I enjoyed the pay-per-views they've done.
I didn't enjoy it enough to want to continue. Like, the pay-per-view for me was Jim Cornette. Jim Cornette's MLW. He's not going to be doing the NWA, so it's not really my bag anymore.
Yeah.
But, I mean, whatever. I mean, I'm sure there will be some kind of audience for it, but I can't see it being a big audience. But hey, seems like I have been left alone here.
No, sorry. Sometimes I mute my mic and then I just fucking
forget to unmute it. Six stars.
Yeah, that's Dave, he'll tell you. But yeah, BCO and Brody King are still the NWA tag champs, so.
Yeah, that's probably going to have to be dealt with somehow, hey? I'd assume.
Yeah, I don't know.
All Elite Wrestling announced their television to be starting October 2nd. Be a 2-hour weekly show on Wednesdays on TNT from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern. So,
yeah.
I mean, it's Wednesday Night Dynamite, I'm assuming. I don't like the name at all.
Well, it was that what they were saying was Dynamite, huh?
Yeah,
I thought it was something else.
They had trademarked Tuesday Night Dynamite. But I don't know if they're going to transfer that over on a Wednesday. So yeah. I hope not. I mean, it does stick with the TNT thing, where it's like, you know, TNT is a bomb, Nitro was always fucking fuel, and then you got Dynamite, which is another explosion. So
they're also planning to run 100 to 200 shows a year. They're going to do some Saturday house shows, I guess.
Yeah, apparently. I mean,
that's ambitious.
Well, like I don't know. It doesn't seem like it's too far out of the way. You know what I mean? Like 51 of those is weekly television. So then you're looking at basically doing one more show a week on average. It's keeping the guys fresh, you know. You got guys like Luchasaurus and Jungle Boy and Marco Stunt, who, you know, they should be. Or I don't even know if Marco Stunt is fully a part of AEW. But like guys like that, Darby Allin, they need to keep going, you know what I mean? And working a couple times a week anyways.
Yeah, all of this in the time where WWE just emailed me the other day. The local venue emailed me the other day that they're doing buy one, get one free tickets for the upcoming WWE house show in 2 weeks. And I still wouldn't go. Last time I got free tickets, and I was like, why the fuck did I come to this?
Yeah.
Terrible. They have been coming here, like, every fucking year. Because it was, they're like, oh, shit, when I went 3 years ago, they drew pretty well. I was like, wow, that's impressive. So now they've run that into the ground.
Yeah.
And I think this will be the last time they come here. I bet they don't come back next year.
Really? It was that bad?
Well, I don't know. It's in 2 weeks.
Oh. I get you. You're saying if it keeps on going, if this is going to be anything like the last ones. Yeah. I mean, it was the same thing. I went to one a couple years ago in Edmonton, and then I went the next year in Edmonton as well, and there was a drastic difference in the amount of people there.
Right. It's like that every time.
Yeah. And they still come every year, and I'm sure it just gets lower and lower and lower.
You see that house show they ran against the Raw reunion, the SmackDown house show?
Yeah. Yeah, it was pitiful.
Holy fuck.
Yeah.
I was like, how many people were there? There was like only the floor and not even the whole floor. There was nobody in this fucking stands.
Yeah. Do you remember where that was?
I don't. I did see, I don't remember the name of the town, but there's some town in the south where they canceled a show at the fucking fairgrounds.
Yeah.
And then they rescheduled it, and then they canceled this one too. So they've canceled the last two shows they've had there because of just no one's buying tickets.
Yeah.
How about after the first time you learn that fucking lesson? If you try to go there and you don't get enough sales and you have to cancel it, why the fuck would you do it again?
Yeah, I don't see the point of going back at that point in time. You know,
and it's like not a long time. It's this was recently. You know?
I mean, they don't need to be doing all these house shows. I don't know why they're out there doing all these house shows anyways. They're not making any money.
No,
they're just killing the fucking workers. That's all they're doing.
Yeah, I don't get it. To me, you run your fucking Monday, Tuesday. You know, I don't
maybe
know.
Maybe do a weekend show. You know what I mean? Like,
what do they have now? They run Monday, Tuesday, and then everybody's off Wednesday, Thursday. They run Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just not necessary.
No.
You know?
No, it's not. Like, you do a week. It's like, who wants to really... I don't know. It's just nobody wants to go to a show in the middle of the week. You know what I mean? I don't anyways.
Oh, I don't care. Like, I'll go to anything in the middle of the week. Doesn't bother me, but not a WWE house show on any day of the week.
Well, I mean, you think you get at least better ticket sales for something on a Saturday. And then, you know, you can always pick markets that are going to be a good drawing market, you know, and try to rebuild some of the market somewhere by not coming back so much. And that way you can get a good crowd there, even for TV. If you're not going, you know, if you've had two house shows in let's say Chicago in the last 6 months and you go there for TV, well, you know, you've exhausted some of your guys that are doing it.
Fair enough. Major League Wrestling has partnered with Pro Wrestling Noah.
Mm-hmm.
So that's fucking awesome. Pro Wrestling Noah has some good guys.
Yeah, Mara Fuji. They got Mini Tanahashi. Can't remember what his name is.
Yeah. So that should be cool, man. MLW is really pretty fucking good right now. I really like MLW.
I do too. It's I haven't been keeping up with it week to week, but on a basis, their shows are good shows. They are. They're well told. They got good announcers. The workers are good. I mean, do I like everybody on the MLW shows? No, but the main event stuff seems to be fantastic. Some of the mid carders and lower mid carders are a little meh to me, but
I like it because they lean into the Hispanic audience.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
and they have a lot of luchadors. You get to see a lot of, you know, dudes like Flamita on there all the time, and that shit's cool, man. And it's just smart, you know. Whether I like something or not, I don't really look at MLW and go like, "What the fuck are they thinking with this?" You know?
Yeah, yeah. So I like the whole bit with Tom Lawler, you know, because I am a fan of Tom Lawler. He's anybody that can come from a fighting background, you already have some credibility. So you're gonna look at him like, okay, well he can kick your ass in real life. So I can see him being able to kick this guy's ass in wrestling. And he does. I like his submission work. I like his character. He comes off like a cocky asshole. It's great.
Yeah. Court Bauer confirms that the relationship between MLW and Noah includes a talent exchange agreement and content collaboration. And if you're talking like a MLW Pro Wrestling Noah fucking pay-per-view mashup,
yeah, that would be cool.
Yeah. Because right now, the only person we really knew from there was fucking Ishimori, right? Because Ishimori was popping around through Impact all the time.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, he's a current guy. Who else? Name another guy other than Mara Fuji. Who's another Noah guy?
I can give you. Is it Mini Tanahashi or is he AJPW?
No, I think that's Mini Tanahashi. Yeah, is it Mara Fuji?
No. There's another guy who's very young.
Oh, I don't know.
No, yeah, he's in Noah because he's the triple. Wait, now I don't. Is it, yeah, Noah has the Triple Crown champion because he's a Triple Crown champion right now, or he was recently. I can't remember his name, though. I'm not going to remember it either because it's not one of those ones that I say all the time. That's the only reason why I know these Japanese names because I say them so much.
Yeah. So it'll be cool, man. You know, MLW shows can bring in dudes. You can get to see the guys you've never seen or guys you're not familiar with. All for it. Very good.
Yeah. Me.
These other companies, including AEW, in my opinion, they need to work together. It's the best for everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. There's such a... I don't want to say a lack of talent because it's not there. There's not a lack of talent. There's plenty of talent on the indies. But there's a lack of high power high star power talent.
Yeah. And still in wrestling, it's great when, you know, two guys have, even if they had a match at some point, you know, seeing the big matchups. That's why, like, the G1 has been so cool, because Moxley, a lot of these are dream matchups, dude.
Yeah. 100%.
And that's fun. What else do we have?
I remember what I said now. Impact tried to buy Access Television.
Oh, dude. Can we be on your channel?
No. Well,
can we buy you? I don't. Who is behind that? I don't know.
Anthem.
They're not. They can't be making any money on this.
No,
shit.
Anthem, like, just has all kinds of money, right? Anthem's a wealthy company.
Is somebody there a wrestling mark or something? Because they could do. You know, they own that stupid whatever the fuck channel it's on now.
Fight Net. Well, they own Pursuit. They own the Fight Network here in Canada. They're the guys that ran live audio wrestling and the John and Waiting show. I can't remember what it was called.
Until they fired those two guys and made their lives like a zillion times better. Instead of working at that fucking place, like, those two dudes just like watch wrestling and talk about it for a living now.
Yeah.
Like, wow, that was pretty awesome.
Look,
actually,
John Pollock essentially was an MMA analyst on the Fight Network, and Wei Ting was a cameraman. So
yeah. A lot of respect for fucking Pollock. That guy's good as fuck.
Oh yeah, Pollock is a really good reporter. I am a big fan.
So yeah, if they buy Access, who knows? I mean, what are they? They're gonna have New Japan on Access.
They got New Japan on Access. They've also got that WOW Wrestling on Access.
Yeah.
They don't need another wrestling show.
Yeah. It's so funny that they can't find anywhere to go, and they got all this money to the point where they're going to buy a channel.
Oh, of course, yeah. Yeah, that's the only way they can do it. And they were going to buy this channel from Mark Cuban, AEG, CBS, RC Crest Media, and Plus CAA. That's who all owns this. Sure, you're going to buy it from all those guys? Fuck off.
I don't get it, man. I would love to see the books on Impact Wrestling. Yeah. Wouldn't you love to see the books on that shit?
Yeah. Yeah, no.
Where are you making money? You barely do any house shows ever. Mm-hmm. You know, like, every once in a while they'll tape their show. Well, they had a good turnout for some of their shit this last week. But anyway, that's it. You're not getting any money for TV because you're on your own network. And especially you're on a network where they can make content with like two fucking assholes, you know, and a cameraman on a boat, you know, fishing and shit, right? I mean.
Well, like, and what's great is they tried to save face from all this by announcing a new deal with Twitch.
Which includes
more original weekly program, pre and post shows, live monthly specials, and Explosion. But yeah, it's you can obviously see through it though. They went for this because, well, Access bowed out, so I guess we'll take Twitch.
Yeah. Dude, this is the same company, mind you, that their feed on their channel as well as the Twitch would, like, I don't know, go to commercial during a match and never come back, just play commercials for an hour, or somebody pull up their fucking Google during the show.
Yes.
So your screen is a Google page? Holy shit balls, man.
Yeah, they're literally just streaming a screen.
It's unbelievable shit, man. Yeah. How does that even happen?
I don't know.
Their show's fucking pretty good, but...
They do some good work, for sure.
It's a good time to be in the wrestling business, but it's kind of not, too, you know?
Yeah, like, there's more eyes on it right now than there has been in a few years, but that's the same thing. There's more to watch, and you can fall to the wayside.
We've ditched Raw, SmackDown, we don't watch 205, and we don't watch NXT UK.
No.
I watch NXT most weeks. So... we've already cut 6-7 hours a week out just with WWE, and I still have no time to really watch all of these. I'm not going to watch MLW, New Japan, Impact, MLW, fucking, you know, all in one week. No, New Japan. I think I said that like five times.
You said New Japan twice. You said MLW twice too.
And there's New Japan.
There's New Japan.
There's also MLW.
Yeah, that's great.
Bitch, I'm hot.
Like it's gotten to the point now where mainstays like ROH can't even really draw a crowd.
ROH is in fucking trouble.
Yeah.
Speaking of shitty shows, did you see what they drew in fucking the Hammerstein?
Yeah, it was pretty lackluster, wasn't it? Wow.
Pretty empty. Holy shit. Yeah, not good, dude.
No, they're definitely a fledgling brand right now. That is for sure. And it just goes to show that they relied on the Young Bucks and Cody and that crew way too much. They were also banking on New Japan a lot too. Like they would draw crowds with like Tanahashi and Okada, and it's like, what about build somebody?
Well, no, yes, did the Elite leaving have something to do with the current state of Ring of Honor? Sure, but the main issue is their booking. The fact that at MSG, a lot of people who, you know, maybe they're not the most hardcore, that was where everybody's eyes were on, and everybody saw that everything Ring of Honor did on that show was dog shit. So,
yeah.
The match is not dog shit. I'm saying the booking.
Yeah.
So, and they're just continuing to do dumb shit. They're like, put it on Taven, which everybody's like, wow, that's fucking dumb. And then now they're like doubling down, like, well, we're going to do it anyway. Good fucking luck, dude.
Yeah.
Do it anyway to. If you can't sell out the Hammerstein, you know what I'm saying? Like, you got fucking problems, dude. And not only, like, not sell it out, but, like, get an embarrassing amount of people in there.
Well, and as well,
New York City.
Hammerstein is so expensive. Right, you've got to spend a lot of money to be able to film anything in Hammerstein or Hammerstein, whatever you want to fucking call it.
New York City. New Japan's coming there, and that's going to be tits.
It's already that sold out.
Did sell out. Our boy B-Rad Brad
got second row. Yeah.
Better see that SCL shirt, Brad.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. They sold out in 4 minutes.
Fuck yeah. But, well, there you go, man. That tells you something.
What do you think about this rumor of Trish Stratus returning for a match against Charlotte at SummerSlam?
That's happening.
Oh, it is actually happening? They've announced it? Or?
They haven't announced it. But...
Oh, okay. Okay. But I mean, so it's
definitely
it's...
happening.
What do you think? Over and under this being, what do you think is going to happen?
I never gave a shit about Trish Stratus like then, so no. I definitely don't give a shit about her now.
No, I get you. It's
but
not
in the WWE world. She's like, oh fuck, Trish Stratus is a great wrestler. No, not really, dude.
No, it.
I mean, she was good and shit. Yeah.
She was great compared to most of the girls that were there at the time. If you compare them. You know, if you were to say the worst and who's the best and you graded them that character, of course, Jazz gets overlooked too much, but.
Yeah, it just tells me the fact that you got Natty just out of nowhere from obscurity into the match for one. And you got another Canadian, right? Trish Stratus, a Canadian.
Yeah. Yeah.
It tells me that you're probably having problems selling tickets and you're trying to get shit on the card to get people to come to it.
I mean, you do make a point having a Canadian team in a show in Toronto. It's and such such a big show too, with SummerSlam and TakeOver both being there, and I'm sure Raw and SmackDown being there as well. So yeah. And then the proceedings around it.
It's a dream match, right?
What's that?
Women's dream match, I suppose.
I guess you can call it that, yeah. Charlotte and Trish. You can call it that if you want to look at just like name wise, yeah. I mean, Charlotte is kind of the Trish Stratus of this era.
Yeah.
Only she works better.
She's not near as hot.
No, God no. Even like Trish now. Like Trish got hotter with age.
Trish is only 43, man. She's hot. And she can still go, so.
Oh yeah.
I expect it to be good, but when are you gonna fucking do this? You got 2 weeks, you know. Like,
is that really? It's, oh wow, shit.
Yeah.
I mean, it's one of those great things when you don't watch WWE on a weekly basis. But no, I will check out SummerSlam. I'm sure.
Yeah, well, I mean, we talked about Extreme Rules. You watched nothing. I watched the last half of the main event live, and then I laughed as I fucking turned off the network. Yeah. Lesnar stood there with the belt.
Like, I'm not going to watch it live. That's I can guarantee you that. But I will be checking out certain matches just because it's SummerSlam, and usually something big, usually, or you know, something cool might happen on SummerSlam. Maybe not, but. Mm-hmm. Who knows?
John Moxley versus Josh Barnett announced for GCW Bloodsport 2.
It's going to be fun.
Yeah, this September 14th, Atlantic City, New Jersey. If you recall from the WrestleMania weekend show, I fucking loved Bloodsport.
Yeah, yeah, I'm a big fan too. I enjoyed everything about it. The no ropes, just the whole style. It the fans there know what they're in for, so like they're deeply into it. You always get like these crazy returns. Like we got fucking the last one. Who was that fucking curly hair guy? So he was gonna murder. We're gonna have our first death in a wrestling ring. Who was that fucking?
I'm trying to think. I don't know.
The UFC fighter.
The dude. Oh yeah, I don't know. I can't remember, man.
I can't remember his name either.
My memory is shit. That's one thing they say about potheads that is true.
Yes, 100%.
So you got that
every now and then too. So
Briscoe's re-signed with Ring of Honor. That's
yeah.
You know, I suppose AEW is not going to sign him. WWE is not going to sign him because of their past transgressions. So
yeah,
where else are you going to really go? Kind of sucks because they're so good, and they're another one of those acts that you know it reminds me of like a Jay Lethal when he re-signed with Ring of Honor. It's like why. He's great and shit, but, like, he has nothing left to do here. What are the Briscoes going to do? Like, there's nothing left, dude. Nothing.
Yeah. No, I agree 100%. But, again, like, AEW is not going to hire him because of their past stances on, you know, some...
I'm sure AEW is, like, they're definitely homophobes and probably racists, right? Isn't that the deal? Yeah. Are they probably racists, or are they
probably
racists?
They probably are. I don't know if they are 100%, but they probably
are. I don't know if they ever... Did they say racist shit too?
I believe they said some derogatory words about homosexuals.
About gay people.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's one of those, not that it's a pass because I don't give it a pass, but like, what do you expect from dudes who fucking.
Chicken farmers from Delaware. Yeah.
Dude, like, motherfucker. I didn't know that. Like, how are they so southern but from Delaware? I don't understand that.
I don't know. They've always had like the Confederate flag on their trunks before.
Yeah, because like Delaware's not really in the South, man. I don't. I was like, now that I think about it, I'm like, what do I know about Delaware? Like, I don't know shit. I don't know anything about it.
I don't know nothing about Delaware either, honestly. But, I mean, I'm from Canada, so.
Yeah. Is anyone listen to our show in Delaware?
I could look at some point in time.
I could look, yeah. If you do, let us know.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. Yeah, never mind. That was something else. So, you know, it sucks because it would have been cool if they went to AEW and, you know, not necessarily with the Bucks, but they could have had a lot of cool matches with some of the other tag teams.
They could have, like, because you got just the tag team division in AEW is so good. You know, just having the best of the best in the tag division, it's just a dream, really. You know what I mean? To have like the Briscoes and all these guys all together, but at the same time, that's a perfect world situation. We don't live in a perfect world. We live in a world that's just full of chaos and full of Trump supporters and stuff. So,
let's see what else we got. They've announced the first three entrants for the Super J Cup. No, not the Super J Cup. The Battle of the Super Juniors. Wait, what the fuck is now Super J Cup? God damn it!
I was gonna say it is the Super J Cup.
Yeah, TJP, Sho, and Dragon Lee are the first three entrants. So,
yeah, I mean,
it's how has TJP not fucking been like working more with New Japan?
He's maybe been he'll be in the Super Juniors before.
I know, but like not this recent, you know, run at all.
Well, like the Super Juniors doesn't happen again until next year. But
yeah, that'd be cool if he was in it.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not a huge fan of TJP, but
I think he's really fucking good.
I think he's crisp, but I just find everything. There's no emotion anywhere. There's no real selling. It's just, I don't know.
Just stuff.
Yeah, he just does stuff. But, I mean, Some of it's exciting stuff.
He does stuff. Some of it's good.
Yeah, like, I mean, Impact did it best when they put him in that manic suit or that suicide suit. That way, you know, you don't have to look at his stupid face.
Darby Allin, Joey Janela, Jimmy Havoc added to AEW All Out. I figured that would be after that match they hadn't put him on the team. I loved this. I was like, fuck yeah, you go from the team of all those crazy fucks to a three-way. That's going to be fucking ridiculous, dude.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's a good idea. It's, I mean, I've seen some people shit on it. Like, friends of the show, I've seen shit on it. Like Fat Superman. But, I mean, that's your ilk. That's your ilk. If that's not what you like, that's cool. But, like, I don't know. I'm excited for it. I know why some people aren't. But, I mean, it's my bag. I like it.
Yeah. You know who is not a fan of it?
Jim Cornette.
Vince McMahon.
Oh, yes. Yeah, but Jesus Christ, this is from the same guy that had Brock Lesnar go out and fucking take Randy Orton out hard way so he can get some fucking juice. Give me a fucking break.
He said, quote, "We're not going to go back to that gory crap that we graduated from." Later on in the same call, he mentioned that the WWE is a more sophisticated product and attracts better writers and better managers.
Yeah.
Dude. A more sophisticated product. There couldn't be a dumber, more lowbrow sack of fucking shit wrestling company than theirs.
Oh, 100%.
God damn it. It just pisses me
piss
off.
Piss jokes.
That... What?
Piss jokes.
Yeah. Help, dude. Piss jokes. That's just the beginning of it, man. Yeah,
they don't stop. Everything in it is the lowest kind of humor.
Yeah. Oh, dude, look at, I mean, the 24/7 stuff. It's obviously very sophisticated.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. We got wrestlers winning the title. Doesn't even know the name of it.
Yeah, this might not even be the news part of the show. This might just be all the people who said dumb shit this week that pissed me off.
Well, I mean... So,
no, I don't know. WWE, so that was on the investor call. A bunch of people offloaded a ton of fucking shares before this too, which is pretty funny.
Yeah,
it initially went down, but it's gone back up. It's up like $10 since then. So fuck you guys.
It's weird, but I mean, at the same time, it's not unheard of. You hear people, selling stocks all the time in the WWE. Now, it is odd to have people sell their stocks a couple days before an investor's call when you assume the stock will go down. So you're selling it. You know, but it did go up. Somehow it went up, and I don't know how the stock market works.
Fucking, I don't know. Fuck that company. What else we got? Oh, Seth Rollins is a cunt again this week. I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, we've done that already. We've talked about it. Fucking.
Yeah, there's really nothing else to say.
It's funny that, you know, their top babyface is just on Twitter making himself look like a fucking asshole every day.
Yeah, and then nobody wants to be Brock. Nobody likes Brock Lesnar because nobody wants to be Brock Lesnar. They want to be, you know, like nobody sees Brock Lesnar and wants to be Brock Lesnar. It's like, well, nobody sees Seth Rollins and wants to be Seth Rollins.
Yeah, they don't want to be a fucking dude named Colby from Iowa.
No, Colby Lopez.
Yeah, I just like fuck that guy so much. He also said with AEW that they're gonna knock him down like they have everybody else. Okay, aside from WCW and ECW in 2001, who else?
Well, like, the only other options are, like, the people that Vince McMahon bought. You know what I mean? That's not knocking them out. That's just forcing them. Like, that's just forcing money on them. But, like, when you talk about having a superior product, yeah, I mean, ECW kind of did it to themselves. WCW also kind of did it to themselves. It wasn't because WWF did it. WCW did it. Like, if anything, you could say WWF killed WCW by firing Vince Russo, and Vince Russo went in and killed WCW. But, like, that's the only argument you could really make as to Vince killing WCW. Sure, he had a more superior product for a couple of years, but that's not because the show was fantastic. That's because they had Austin and The Rock and The Undertaker. And they had all the star power at this point in time, where WCW was still using Hogan and Macho Man and all these old fucks that he drew 10 years ago, but the new crowd is not into him.
Yeah, and well, you know that, but if you watch the WWE fucking narrative on their shit, Vince McMahon, you know, came up with a way better product, and they destroyed WCW. They kicked their asses, and then they bought them. You know?
Yeah.
That's the story that a fucking scary amount of people now believe. I'm running into those people more and more. They're young. They base everything that they know off of what they see on the network and these fucking shows they watch on there.
Yeah.
It's really up to Pritchard it's really show. Up to podcasts like to keep the actual history alive, because people like Cody fucking Collier doesn't know shit.
Oh,
talk more about him and Mark Tang.
I'm sure we will.
This week.
I wasn't on Twitter much this week, but I'm sure he had some fantastic discussions.
I figured out who he looks like, dude. He looks like that Sloth fucking or weasel.
Yeah.
Whatever the fuck he is from Ice Age, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, that's who he looks like. I got it. Fuck.
He can see a 180-degree rotation.
Yeah. What else we got? Just a couple of little things I thought were interesting. There's an article by Forbes on Forbes.com talking about Kofi Kingston and Seth Rollins are two of the worst trying champions in WWE history.
Well, I mean,
that's a story
true.
On Forbes.
It's true, though.
Who doesn't cover much? Who doesn't cover much fucking pro wrestling? Obviously.
But people are now starting. Even Dave Meltzer is saying that he's been getting more calls now from people on the stock market than he's ever had, because people are finally starting to see that the WWE thing is, it's kind of more smoke and mirrors than it is anything else, because like they're touting that, you know, like, oh, you know, we got this great rating on Monday, you know, so we're turning things around. We got new producers and we're getting better ratings. So guys, look at this, right?
And you know, that's like 100% not even true anymore. I'm like, those dudes are not in positions of anything on those fucking shows.
No, they never were. They were executive producers, and anybody that thought, I said it here the first week they announced it, if anybody thinks that anybody is more, you know, they have more decision-making power than Vince McMahon, you're a fucking fool. These guys still have to do what Vince does when he changes. Like, he changed SmackDown at 4 p.m. that day, the whole show. The whole fucking show.
The report from evidently from somebody within who says like those dudes were there as propaganda to distract fans, to make people think like, oh, there's something happening, there's change happening, but Vince is doing it, he will be doing it until he fucking dies.
Yeah 100%. And I got no interest in it. I'll give WWE a shot when Vince is dead.
Would you like some interesting fucking stats on this?
Yes. Please.
Domestic house shows headlined by Seth Rollins averaged just 3,334 fans, lower than Jinder Mahal's universally panned 2017 title run. Similarly, Kingston headlined events had, as of July 18th, 2,940 fans per show, which would make him the fourth worst drawing in company history in this regard, behind, now this is weird, behind Kurt Angle, Booker T, and Eddie Guerrero.
Well, and see, that's the thing, though. That was
on those guys. It's on.
It's
just
not.
You see this as a state of the business. You know, their business, not the business.
Yeah, like the WWE business when Kurt Angle, Chris Benoit, Eddie Guerrero, and who was the other guy that they mentioned?
They didn't say Benoit or Angle.
Angle. Okay. Guerrero. Okay, just Angle and Guerrero. Okay, well, see, you
and
look
Booker
at
T.
Okay, and Booker T. That was the post Monday Night Wars era. A lot of people dropped off. Like WWE's ratings plummeted. You know what I mean? At this point in time, that's part of the reason why, because there was no competition. WCW was gone, so nobody really the crowd that cared about WCW and watched WWF to see how much worse they were in WCW were gone, and they're not really coming back. So. It's not because Angle was a bad champion, because Angle was a great champion. Eddie was a good champion. I'm not going to sit here and say Eddie was fantastic as champion, because he wasn't. Eddie was a good champion. He was a great worker, but he was by no means one of the best champions ever. But, I mean, he had a nice little run, but, I mean, it got stale fast. What can you say?
I don't know what else there is, really. CM Punk talked about getting an offer from... AEW by text, which that whole article to me seemed like, how about you guys fucking actually talk to me? you know, have some respect and actually talk to me. That's what it seemed like to me. But then there's this whole thing now, which I was like, if he, I don't know, man. And then now Cody Rhodes is saying he wouldn't be surprised if he went, if he went back to WWE. And I'm like, dude, if he comes back now, and obviously I don't think that's happening, but if it did, like, you guys are kind of fucking it up here by doing this shit. You should have said nothing about it. You shouldn't, like, it's like, it's like the early stages of a feud or something. I don't know. Well, I mean, see, the place will still go fucking nuts, don't get me wrong. But.
And I look at it part ways as, you know, like, sure, it could be true. And I also look at it as, you know, nowadays at wrestling, a lot of people do try to work the fans into not thinking something's going to happen, and then it does. To try to throw off the scent. But I don't think CM Punk is coming back. I really don't. There's a part of me that's like, yeah, no, it'd be cool. But, like, I don't think so.
Wouldn't you at least, and I brought this up in the thing, wouldn't you at least fucking try to get him on commentary?
I mean, you try to do what you can, but he is under contract with the UFC, so.
He's never fighting in UFC again.
No, but he still has the contract, right? Like, he's a commentator for their lower level stuff.
If they wanted, they could get him.
I mean, it's possible, but you'd think that.
If he wanted to do it anyway, yeah.
If he wanted to do it, you'd think he would be doing it
already. But even if you knew in the early stages of this shit, of AEW, like, we're going to get him. When do we want to do it? This is the time, you know? I mean,
of course.
You go, like, once we get our shit with our TV and we're looking that way, then, you know, by all means. So this is the perfect time. It's in Chicago. It's right before the television. If it happened, like, I don't think it's going to, but if it did, man, would that help them fucking.
It would. It would help them
do these shows every Saturday and every Monday. Holy fuck.
Yeah.
It would be a much bigger, you know, punch in the wrestling war, you know, so.
He would be. And then along with him, you know, like, something to be said too is, you know, she's not the greatest worker in the world, but she does have a big fan base, and that's AJ Lee. So.
Yeah.
I mean, you can add her to the women's division if you did get Punk. I mean, hypothetical situation, but.
Jesus. Yeah, that would be big. That would be big for business.
Yeah, it would be. Like, it's not going to up the match quality that much more because, obviously, I've been on here before about my stance and how I don't think CM Punk's that good of a wrestler. But, I mean, he's got great star power, and he got a few moves that he does well.
There's no bigger ticket person out there. Like, if you were tasked right now with trying to do the biggest business you could, who are you going to get that's available? Who would you get, period? You know, there's not a lot of people out there who are, like, going to be a big fucking game changer who are available and sitting at home. Yeah. You know, like, for a while there, when it looked like Brian might leave, I was like, dude, that would be huge.
Yeah, but, it would be. It would be big to have Brian, but, I mean, it's almost bigger to have Punk.
At this point, I'd say yeah. Punk is, because he's got that big fucking return.
Exactly. People, especially the way he left, too, nobody was even given really, like, a closing match. It was like,
I don't know.
He was in the Royal Rumble and he was gone.
I go to that motherfucker and I give, dude, you got to give him Jericho money. The money you gave Jericho, I think they overpaid for Jericho personally, but you got to give him that level. Like, give that guy whatever the fuck he takes, you know?
Yeah. No, 100%. And plus, you also got the whole deal, too. CM Punk is still going through legal proceedings. So, I mean, he could probably use a good payday. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not saying he's poor or he's out of money. But, like, after all those lawyer fees, it's kind of nice to get a big
kind of one of those dudes, too, who, like, you know, he's not the kind of guy who's, like, going to live in some crazy, you know, he's like a Moxley kind of dude, right? I mean, Moxley's like, my house is paid for, my truck is paid for, like, what am I going to do with a bunch of money?
Yeah.
You know, so we'll see. That'd be cool. Do you have any other news? Long news.
I'm kind of just, the only other thing I got, did you see about that Variety article also that came out saying that Vince McMahon was out of excuses for WWE's woes and that, you know, they detailed all the things going wrong with WWE, and it led to a 61-cent down drop of their shares. It was They, what was it, $32? It was $30 below their 52-week high. So, like, I mean,
I heard it went back up again.
It did. $10 or something. This was before the call. This was like on Monday. The call was Thursday, I believe. So
yeah, Jimmy Fuzz, I mean, you know, they're still making money for now, so we'll see.
Yep.
But
yep.
For it's now. Fun story, and I hate that. You know, I never wanted anything like I hate them. So when shit kind of looks bad on Steph and those people like that, I hate like a shoot hate. I really enjoy it because those people like I do shoot hate. I hate Stephanie McMahon. She's a terrible fucking person.
No, yeah, I get that.
But yeah, anyway, so that's it for the news. What's coming up on the Federation?
Well, we recently released World War III, 1996, which is a horrible show. It's not fun at all. It is impossible to watch one of these World War III matches. I suggest you try to go fucking watch one if you haven't ever and get back to me on how garbage it is. Coming up on Monday on the main feed, we will have Federation on Shuffle, which will be the, I think it's the 164th edition of Raw, but it's the Pillman's Got a Gun episode from November 4th, 1996. So we'll be going through that on our way into Survivor Series 1996, which has that Stone Cold Bret Hart match that everybody raves about. So
that's a fucking hot time right
it
there.
It is. The WWF at this point in time are lower in the ratings, but in my opinion, their shows are a bit better. They have a better undercard in WCW when it comes to the Cruiserweights, Benoit, Eddie Guerrero, Dean Malenko, all those guys. Sure, they put on good matches if they're put in the position to have them. But on the WWF, you know, at least they got more than just the NWO going on.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair. This looks like some good shit coming up. Check that out. Everywhere podcasts are found, MoFudge.com. If you like this show, you're going to fucking love the Federation.
Of course.
Coming up on the SCL network side of things, They Live for Horror is going to be doing The Void coming up soon.
I totally forgot. I still got to do the artwork for that.
Nice. So check that out. Their first episode, coming They Live, is up on the network now. All free. Don't put no shit behind paywalls. It's all free, baby.
Baba.
Pay-per-view take two. Still, this is another one of those where I fall into like, it's coming. TNA Hardcore Justice 2010 coming soon. Hopefully recording next week here.
There you go.
That's all coming up on our fucking channels. From here, dude, it's a good week for Mark Tank. Let's take a little dip after a word from our sponsor.
It's here, the 1986 World Wrestling Federation's calendar. 12 months of spectacular photographs of your favorite WWF wrestling stars. All of these great action shots are suitable for framing. Get yours now for only $11.70, which includes postage and handling. To call, use our free 800 number, 1-800-342-5711. Visa and MasterCard accepted, but no CODs. To write, send check or money order to WWF Calendar, P.O. Box 6789, Stamford, Connecticut, 06904. Get your calendar now. It will make a great...
The Mark is a guy that pays his last $20 on crack cocaine. The Mark is a guy that believes that OJ did do it. And the Mark is each and every one of you fired, son of a fucking bitch.
A Mark is every one of these sorry sons of fucking bitches. It's Mark Tank.
Fucking
where we read Mark comments off social media as they are typed for all of our entertainment. What used to be a special occasion thing has become a weekly thing because just I used to have to, like, oh, this event will make a bunch of marks.
Yeah.
Not anymore. Just they're out there now. You just every week there's marks. So.
Oh, yeah, no, it's Twitter's a rife community these days. Yeah. So is Facebook.
You see this guy, he had some exchanges with Smark to Death. I don't know those guys, but they're a podcast. Cool dudes on Twitter and shit. And other people. other listeners of our show and shit, so I got drug into it. But this guy, his colleague, his name is Christopher Leon Johnson. He's talking about about Okada. He calls him a spot monkey.
Oh.
Steroided up spot monkey.
He's never even seen him.
No, I don't know who told you that, you know.
You know, like, it, obviously he's just going through the motions with his argument and using the same argument. And it's like, God damn, Okada. Wrestlers even mention how Okada never even goes to the gym. And he's got such a shit body. Like,
when's the last time you see him fucking, like, fly or jump, do anything?
Yeah, like, he does a top rope drop kick every now and then. That's about it.
Yeah. Man, he's just, that kid had just all kinds of dumb as fuck shit.
Yeah, I mean, from right there, from the get-go, all your arguments are nobody should even take you seriously.
fuck. Got some stuff from the Raw reunion show. Steve Rollins. Oh, come on, dude. And his picture is a picture of Seth Rollins. So he's Seth's brother Steve, dude.
Oh, fuck, man. He's like the Fudge Brothers. They just got like different Todd fudges. Fudge, yeah. Popping up all the time.
Steve Rollins. Dear Cena, for this you came to Raw, and the WWE creative idiots have no idea how to book the legend like the 6-time world champ Cena. This is how WWE is going to fight with AEW.
Yep, there you go. Haven't seen it come out and make fun of somebody's DUIs.
Yeah. Nick Weatherford, this one's great. He asked WWE, please make a DVD for this and sell it at all stores like Walmart, Target, and stuff like that. Please put this on DVD so we can buy it.
What the fuck?
Oh. Yeah, dude.
It would be on fucking the network in 30 days.
He probably doesn't have the fucking network.
Well, fucking. Well, I mean, yeah, whatever. Bizarre, right? Yeah. It's an odd request.
Yeah. Ivor Ivera Coram, one of the greatest Monday Night Raw ever. I enjoyed seeing all of them. They all look great. Thanks, guys, for entertainment us.
Well, killed it with the last sentence, but...
One of the best Raw ever, dude.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to talk about some of the better Raws, I mean, Federation of Shuffle coming up. Pillman's Got a Gun. It's a pretty good Raw. 40 minutes of pretty good action.
Baraha Mikey. I can only imagine how emotional Seth must have felt in that moment where two of the biggest factions in wrestling history, one of the biggest wrestling factions in wrestling history, and DX, let's face it, are asking you to do the honors and supporting you. Congrats, Seth. You can now say that you have pretty much accomplished everything in wrestling.
Oh, wow. That's a hot take there for sure. Did you hear how Waltman and Hall were very against jobbing out the OC?
Yeah.
Good.
And I was like, I'm just glad that I wasn't the only, you know, that there was other people in that company who thought the exact same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a sad state of affairs, man.
Jesus. Everybody saw that, you know, it was like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah.
There's a wrestling podcast. I don't know what their even name. I don't have it here. They always tag us in their picture, which, like, fucking irritates me when people do that. They'll, like, tag you in a picture of, like, them posting their new shit.
Oh, yeah, and expecting that you'll retweet it or something.
Yeah, dude. And I don't know you. I've never talked to you. You know, we've never interacted. So, like, I mean, I'm not just going to do it just for shits. Yeah. You know?
No.
So I just untag myself from it every time. Anyway.
Oh, you can do that's the thing. I didn't know you could do that.
Oh, yeah. You click on the picture and you go up to the little dots and you fucking untag yourself. Hmm. Save yourself a million things. Anyway, they do a top five thing every week. Like, oh, who's the top five fucking wrestlers of the week? And this dude, this person, the Queen of New of NE.
The Queen
either
of
the Northeast or of Nebraska, one of the two. Her top five of the week. Number five, Randy Orton. Number four, Jordan Miles. You might be asking yourself who Jordan ACH? Miles is. The former, yeah, ACH, yeah. AKA Midnight Cannonball.
Midnight Cannonball.
That's fucking awesome. Number three, Kelly.
Oh, Jesus.
Number two, Drake Maverick. Fuck. And number one, Stone Cold Steve Austin.
She watched one wrestling show this week.
Yeah. I mean, some of the people that one has, I mean, they're all WWE people, so I don't know. They don't specifically say, like, oh, who's your top five wrestlers of the week, like, for WWE. But theirs are always WWE and NXT, so I don't know.
That's fair. That's
well,
fair.
Power to you, I guess. But I mean, stop if that's what you want to
exactly. If that's what you want to watch, that's what you want to watch.
Yeah. There's this, like, group of shows. a little peek behind the curtain. They, like, invite me into some, you know, message thing, and it's, like, six or seven shows.
Yeah.
I never really listen to. I don't listen to much wrestling shows. I like to listen to the Federation because it's evergreen.
Yeah.
And I like, you know, there's some others that I'll pop into, but, like, you live so much wrestling doing a wrestling show, I don't listen to that many.
No. Like, I got my core. I've got, like, the Observers with Dave, and then I'll listen to Jim Cornette because he's just a wealth of knowledge from the past.
Yeah,
I don't listen to him for his current day takes, but like he's got a lot. Like he's got a lot to offer a company if they would listen. You know what I mean?
Stick around. We do all the people we give shout outs to. We condone and suggest their shows.
Of course,
they are great. But anyway, there's like six or seven, eight of them, whatever. And they're like, oh, let's all help each other out. I'm like, oh, this fun game again. Okay, I know how this game goes.
Yeah.
This game goes where it's like, oh, let's all tweet each other's shit. And then the motherfuckers don't, yeah. You know, because yeah. I don't know what they think. If you tweet somebody else's stuff, you're going to lose a listener or something. I don't know what people's fucking weird thing is with that, you know.
Yeah.
But, and I'm just like, ugh, and then just leave because it's just stupid, man.
Yeah.
Like, we've played this game so many times, you know.
I get
what
you.
Is there to, you know, a lot of shows like they exist like nothing. We shout out a lot of fucking shows, like 10 podcasts.
Something like
you
that.
You know,
yeah.
Every episode, because it's like, I don't know, man. Just have brotherhood with people and shit. Like, you see, someone listening to another show is not like, oh, you're going to lose a listener.
yeah, we're going to lose a listener by shouting out a show deep into the end of the show.
I'm a hippie, I guess, and I'm also like, you know, from punk rock and shit. And like, this is kind of what you do, man. You know, try to help each other out. I don't know. Anyway,
Mark Tank,
sorry. let's see what else we got. Okay, whoa. Oh, this one, man. This guy on Twitter, his name's Antoine Frazier. this was sent over by our good boy, Ravishing Dick Rude, which we have something from, right?
Yes, we do.
Don't let me forget that. He tweeted out, "Want up, Mandy Rose. My name is Antoine. I'm from Augusta, Georgia. I'm your big fan. I'm single with no kinds. I'm looking for a girlfriend. I'm brown skin, low haircut, with pretty white teeth. Very sexy, baby. Gave me a call. 706-521-4699. Got 34 retweets. I'm just trying to help this guy spread his message. He's got a picture of himself too. Chubby black dude.
Oh wow. Like, a part of me now wishes we could Skype call him.
I mean, yeah, dude, right?
But we can't.
We have the ability to like call people on the fly. Maybe we should call him for next week.
I mean, I don't know how we'd do that. I think you'd have to sign up and like buy Skype minutes.
I mean, dude, I'll buy Skype minutes for that. Fucking right, dude. Like, we just want to help you spread your message, bro.
We could call him up and just be like, hey, we want you to tell all of our listeners, maybe one of them might know Mandy Rose, and get you your date with her. Give us your plug.
That number again, 706-521-4699. You're looking to talk to Antoine.
Tell him you know Mandy.
Yeah. A boy, Aaron Echo. He sent over this one from Andrew Davey. AJ Styles, you can't win a fair match by yourself without your other two twirls. What in saying is that even I could kick your ass, you punk. What is that? You can't win a fair match by yourself without your other two twirls. What in saying is that even I could kick your ass.
I don't know. I got to look up twirls in the Urban Dictionary to see what that means.
Just fucking can't spell. But yeah, man, definitely. You can send me shit at Suplex City Limits. Sometimes people send me stuff and then I don't use it because I don't think it's funny enough. And that's not like a slight on you. It's just like, send it to me and maybe I'll use it.
Twirl on Urban Dictionary, used in the same context as the word blowjob, or it's a type of fingering. The fingers are spinning around inside the female, or it's a twirling motion is used when smoking meth out of a hubble. So, comes the terminology of
fucking twirling. Sex and smoking meth. It's also like spinning around in a circle.
when the index and middle finger are taken and twisted around inside the female's vagina. I got some twirl from Tim last night as an example. A twirl, a skinny, flamboyant gay man with too much kinetic energy. What the fuck?
Do people think that, like, you just put your fingers inside of women and twist them all fucking around them?
Gotta try that.
To a bitch. Next bitch you finger bang. Yeah, put your fingers in there and then fucking twist them around like you're fucking starting a car or something.
Yeah.
What the fuck kind of move is that?
Do you like that twirling, baby?
Yeah, right. Exactly. I'll give you a fucking finger blasting pro trip here. In up. If she's on her back. You know?
Yes.
Just like you're fucking, you know, going to get somebody to come over to you with the one finger, you know? You're like, hey, come over here. That motherfucker. Yep. In up. And put a towel down first, motherfucker. Cody Collier. Oh, we've just learned something with that move. He was not aware of it. Despite being bi and proud. There's so many this week, dude, from this kid. He blocked a ton of people. He blocked the SEL account even.
Oh, did he?
He blocked Allendike Bill. He blocked Chico Was Here. Dude, he blocked a ton of fucking listeners of the show. He blocked like 10 SEL listeners. That's awesome. But some of his random things that are great. Oh, it was the give WWE women more, or give WWE women a chance hashtag that was going around.
Gross.
Which is so fucking dumb. They're like, they didn't even have a match on Raw. There was like nothing on Raw.
Yeah, like none of the main roster had a match on Raw, really. You know what I mean? Like a high profile. They didn't profile anybody.
Yeah. The Reigns beat Joe in like 4 minutes.
Yeah.
Clean. But now they're having a Samoan summit this week on Raw.
That'll get the viewers. Tell me more about how Paul Heyman's doing the show.
He says, you better give Charlotte and Ember a lot of time, and you better feature the women's tag division in a good way. To which I responded, you know, or else what, with my favorite GIF, the Scott Hall fucking GIF. Which has become a thing with me and Klondike Bill every time we fucking message each other. It's like, no matter what the other person says, you send that one back. Just send it to people who text you. I'm like, I'm sorry, Grandpa's died. And just send back Scott Hall doing the finger fucking. Yeah, exactly. The other thing, this is a long problem for the women, though. The women haven't had as much time as they should since main eventing Mania. All of the women are better than the men.
I don't even know what to say to that. That's like that's, I mean, it shows you just how stupid he is. And it's obviously because his eyes can't make a fully, you know, they're too far apart to actually form right. So he's not watching right. He needs to close one of his eyes and watch with one eye. He'll understand a lot more then, I think.
He's really mad about the people trying to, you know, he says hijack that terrible four-way match from last week. It isn't an excuse. It's not piss poor. The match was good. It wasn't too long. The crowd decided that it was bad before giving it a true chance. The women are better than Gallagher. There's a G in it, but it's Gallagher. Verbs. and Cable. The crowd went into it wanting to hijack no matter the quality, which is completely not true. Yeah. The crowd was into it and okay with it, even though three of those people are like, why are they even on the fucking, why would any of these people get a shot? Anyway. So it's completely wrong. You know, and that also falls back to my, what we've talked about a zillion times, but it's like WWE never builds a contender. It's always a pay-per-view where someone retains. If somebody retains and that they've exhausted that person, the next time it's a fucking, you know, battle royal, it's a four-way, it's, they have no fucking idea what they're doing anymore.
No, they really don't, especially when you look at it too. The true problem behind that match was the fact that nobody realized that, or nobody had the balls to tell Vince that, hey, you're going to kill the crowd, you know, having a 20-minute match with these four women. Like, that should tell you alone that Vince is completely off his rocker right there.
Yeah. Talking about Alexa Bliss, somebody was talking about, obviously, how she's not better than those people. But he's talking about every spot is a memorable spot since Alexa is an all-time great when given the opportunity.
Jesus.
She's a heel, and she recently returned from concussions, so it makes sense to play it safe. That was his defense of her doing nothing in the match. He then gives a list of all of these great matches that Alexa was in.
Oh God, how big is
Alexa
this list?
Alexa versus Charlotte, Alexa versus Sasha, versus Bayley, versus Nikki, versus Becky, versus Mickey, versus Nia, versus Ronda, etc.
Yeah, I mean, I don't get it.
Chico was here. Is like, he's like, if you're an Alexa fan, you wouldn't have any trouble naming her best match, right? And then that kid responds with that, Cody called.
It's you can easily say that he has some sort of crush on Alexa Bliss. That is evident.
I mean, it's just a fucking delusion, these people. Do you think they're on the payroll, you know?
maybe he thinks he is.
Like, are you a fucking, like does Russia bots? Like, are you like a WWE bot, you know, that just, like, takes Mark comments and just, like, makes up fucking automatically generates?
Mark things? Equation 2.0.
Yeah. It's like the fucking highest level of technology in all of Markdom. It's my bot 2000.
Oh, gross. Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if there's like a bunch of bots made by the WWE on Twitter.
I don't know. So, this week's winner of Mark Tank, Muhammad Adam Isham.
That's a name.
For once. Let make a match Hulk Hogan, Stone Cold, and John Cena v. New Day.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it.
Oh my.
Oh my.
Hulk Hogan, Stone Cold, and John Cena versus the New Day.
That's Hulk Hogan, John Cena, and Stone Cold. That, I mean, you've got one guy that can actually take a bump. Stone Cold can't no more, and Hogan shouldn't.
Hogan can't do shit. Like 10 years ago, at least, yeah. Like 15 years ago, he could barely move.
Well, I mean, he tried to have a match like 8 years ago with Flair in Impact, and it was absolute garbage. I can only imagine what it would be like now.
Oh my God. Fucking ridiculous, man. So, well, here I do have a question that a boy, Jay Silver, a.k.a. Viva the JD, a.k.a. I don't know. I don't have anything else.
Jason, yeah. Co-host of the SmackDown podcast. Is that what you were trying to find?
Yeah, I don't know. I was just going to like make something up on the fly.
Todd Fudge.
No, I'm Todd Fudge. He was
you're Todd Fudge.
What the fuck was he?
I can't remember now.
Something else. I don't remember. Tyson Fudge.
Tyson Fudge. Yes. Yes.
There's of course Fat Superman Fudge.
And then there was also Ravishing Dick Fudge. And then yeah. there was, for a short period of time, the Corey Gold from the SmackDown podcast was a Fudgette at one point in time, too.
Jesus. The Fudge family. It's like the Dudley family.
Yeah, yeah, it is. We just needed Dances with Fudge.
On the 25th of September Progress show, they are introducing a new championship called the Progress Protus Championship.
Protus? What?
I don't know. P-R-O-T-E-U-S.
So they're using the President of the United States.
That'd be like POTUS.
Right, that's what I'm saying. They're kind of like mimicking that.
What the fuck does that word mean?
Protus or POTUS?
No, Protus.
I don't know. I don't know. I have no idea. Anyways.
I like to think of myself, linguistically inclined.
But protus is one of those words where it's just beyond.
It was an ancient Greek. It's an early prophetic sea god or god of rivers and oceanic bodies of water.
Oh, okay.
What the fuck is that?
So they're the champion of the water?
So it's a water championship, yeah. Defended in pools. You only could be fucking pinned in water.
Yeah, or like, since over where Progress is, there's lots of rain, it can only be defended on rainy days.
There you go.
Did he have a question, though, or is he just telling us that?
Anyway, no, here's a question. Like, what do you think about it? Basically, each time the championship is defended, it is the champion's decision for what stipulation it should be.
Okay.
So, that's interesting. Wouldn't it be more interesting maybe if the challenger got the pick?
I
guess you get the advantage of the champion.
I think the whole idea is stupid.
Yeah. Do you?
Yes. Because I'll give you the glaring example right now. Stipulations are to be built towards. Like a Hell in a Cell should be to end a blood feud. A street fight should be a saved for a program where two guys hate each other so much that they want to cause real bodily harm. When you have the stipulation where every match you have for that title, you get to pick a stipulation, it automatically defeats it and makes it mute because it's got no levity. It's just a match for the sake of having a match. So I think it is dog shit.
And if I get to pick the stipulation, why would I pick a...
I'd pick a handicap match each fucking time.
Well, in logic, why would I pick a ladder match or something?
Exactly.
Or TLC or what? I mean, why would you do that?
You wouldn't, unless you're an idiot.
Yeah. I was like, that could be fun or whatever, but yeah, you've completely won me over and you completely make a fan. Like, yeah, 100%.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I'm sorry, Viva La JD. I know you love Progress, but I mean, I just think it's... nothing against you. If you like it, you like it, but I just don't think it's a point. I don't know. It's not going to get me to watch it.
Agreed. Silly. We got something from Ravishing Dick Fudge or what?
I'm pretty sure we do. Let me cue that motherfucker up here right now. AKA, let me find what button I need to press. And I've got it. So you ready, sir? You ready for Ravishing Dick Fudge?
Yeah, set it over.
What is the deal, guys? It is your boy Ravishing Dick Fudge. Everyone's going to fuck all your wives short dick style. And thin dick style.
Yeah, boy.
Let that marinate for a second. Yep. Anyways, man, hope you guys are doing well. Tyler Fudge, as usual, for the restaurant's great.
Thank you.
And Suplex City Limits, as usual, top shit, top notch, top shelf. We know what we're doing here. And we're smoking some good shit. Anyways, man, fuck Jimmy Uso, number one. And secondly, I would like to say rest in peace, Ring of Honor. go fuck yourselves. And yeah, that's about it. Hope you guys have a nice time. Much love.
There you go.
Fucking Ravishing Dick Fudge.
Yeah.
Yep. You're to fuck your wife short dick style and thin dick style.
I'm glad that caught on.
So good. Much love to you, dude. I love that guy. Yeah, fucking rest in peace, Ring of Honor, dude.
Yeah, and
fuck we talked about that already.
Yeah, well, I mean, both of it was points that we've made this show, so it's like he read our minds.
Yeah, I hope that our takes on both were satisfying to you.
Yes, I hope so too. And by the sounds of it, they are. So.
Yeah. So other than that, man, I mean, there was that Raw reunion show. I watched it, so I should at least get to talk about it, maybe. I don't know.
You can. I didn't see a goddamn lick of it other than the Bray Wyatt segment. Because that's really the only thing that I even like.
Because I don't really even criticize WWE on Twitter anymore. I just completely ignore it. So I watched it and I was like, eh, maybe I'll bitch about a couple of things. So you have all these, well, not a lot, but you got about 600,000 lapsed fans, I assume, right, tuning into this show. Looking at the rating.
Yeah.
First off, what did you do to get them to come back next week?
Nothing.
Nothing. Also, what did you do to help any of your current people, aside from Bray Wyatt?
Nothing.
Nothing.
No.
Fucking
we got
nothing.
A meme. We got a meme out of Seth Rollins. With him looking lonely outside of the NWO and DX.
Yeah, right. That's about it. Yeah.
This is garbage.
Yeah, this rate, and they got a bump up. I think it like not quite 3.1 million.
Yeah, it was somewhere around that point. Yeah, they got to the 3. They got over 3 for the first time this year. So,
that's dude. Their usual is like 2.4 million.
Yeah,
that's not huge. You flew in like fucking 75 people. And...
I see. That's the thing. They didn't because they're in Florida. Most of them just live there, anyways.
Right, that's a good point.
So like it that's one thing where they had, that's why they made it this week. It was just a happy coincidence that it was like a couple days before the conference call, and then you've got everybody, a lot of them anyways, living in that area. Obviously Stone Cold lives in LA / wherever the fuck the Broken Skull Ranch is.
Fucking Los Angeles.
Angeles, fuck me, it gets me every time.
Probably got Hershey the Wonder Dog. Got him on up in the RV, drove him down to Florida.
Once we got out of Los Angeles, there was Hershey got the Hershey squirts.
So yeah, it'll be right back to where it was next week, I am sure.
No, I'm 100%. Like it might do a 2.5, 2.6 maybe. But like, I'm sure you'll have a couple people coming by and be like, yeah, no, I'll check it out. And they watch it and it's like, oh no, never mind, I'm gone.
Should be a meme of fucking RVD, man. He's so high that he shows up on the wrong fucking show, dude. He didn't even know. He just walks out. He's like, oh fuck.
There's more people here than usual.
Yeah, it's about the. Yeah, there's more people. Well, I guess this show did
Impact.
Yeah.
WWE does more than Impact does every fucking night.
And holy shit, does he looks baked. I don't know if you've seen any of it.
Oh, yeah, no. He looks out
of his fucking mind.
Yeah. Yeah, stood there on the ramp with who? Who was he stood with? Just a collection of old men.
I don't even remember. Devon, maybe?
Yeah, probably. I don't know. I can't remember. But it was him and three other guys just stood at the ramp.
What else did I have from this show? I mean, Wyatt attacked Foley, which was cool, but Cole ruined it because Cole was the fucking worst. He doesn't care. And it's obvious, and the fact that he comes out there every fucking week and has to do it. Like, I wonder how much drugs does he do when he has to leave? Does he get out of there and just shoot heroin and shit? Or, like, I would never be able to do that. Every day, I have to go and watch dog shit fucking wrestling and act like I care. He's
like
the worst. I can't stand it when he's like, oh my God, it's just fake, dude. It's fake.
Yeah.
It's like when, with that big cage spot with Shane or whatever a few years ago, and they see fucking him in the background, not even looking. He's looking at a script, reading, fucking yelling, get the fuck out of here. Yeah, it just sucks.
Bush League.
You know, and it's like, great. I mean, that's the best thing they did to help any of their talent, but still so, like, by the fucking numbers, man.
Oh, yeah.
And I felt like Wyatt could have been a dark face. People were treating him like a face. They like him, they like this, and they just, WWE doesn't understand that, so they're just taking this circle and just like trying to smash it into this square heel thing. And it's like, dude, he could have been a dark face.
Yeah I mean,
that's what he would have been, the best. Now they're gonna make him a heel. People don't want him to be a heel, so it's going to take a ton away from it, I think.
Yeah, no, they WWE can't do baby faces any good, and that's obviously the reason why he is a heel, because they just don't know how to book him. But it would be, you know, like, it's just an easy way to walk into having an over baby face. is by, you know, you got Bray Wyatt there. People, you know, they enjoy the Firefly Funhouse while it lasted. Yeah. They enjoy this new look for Bray Wyatt. Then give them what they want. Let them cheer him. Let him avenge the, you know, the good side of the WWE, where, you know, he has, you know, you can have him slip up every now and then and almost do bad things. But if with this new character, he continues to be good, it's just be, I think it would be so much better that way.
I think you could play with it so much of he's trying to be a good guy, and he is a good guy when he's the, you know, the dude in the sweater. Yeah. But the other side is, you could go all over the place with that creatively.
With like a Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde type of deal.
Yeah. And now he's just going to be a heel, and it's not going to work. You think people are going to boo him over Finn Balor? Fuck no.
No. Like, I also enjoyed, like, this week where, you know, it starts off as the Firefly Funhouse, and then, you know, I do like how it got a little more unhinged the closer it zoomed into him, and I do like the overall production of it. Even, like, when he gets into the ring, you get that flashing of lights. I think that's cool. I like it. I like the everything about it, really. Except for the
cool
fact...
Cool yelling all of
that. Yeah.
Shut the fuck up. You're ruining it. You know?
Yeah. They didn't need to add the Fiend. I don't know. To me, it sounds a little cheesy, the Fiend. But
the fact that everybody has to have a stupid nickname.
Yeah, well, and you're taking like basically the Misfits. You know what I mean? Like the Fiend Club or whatever the fuck they used to have.
I don't know. And then luckily at the end, they held them off to the end to try to keep people watching. But Steve Austin comes down to show you and remind you what a star on a Monday night looks like and the reaction they get. And he also shows you how to fucking do a promo.
Yeah.
Thank you. Fuck you. Bye. Like Austin later. You think people are like, well, Seth Rollins is over and Roman Reigns is over. Yet fucking Austin comes out. And it's not like, oh, it's because he's back. This is the same shit he was getting when he was there. Over as fuck. This is what it looks like when you're over on Monday.
Yeah, 100%, man. 100%.
Even drunk, he, like, made up a fucking cool promo. He was fucking drunk, man.
He could have been. It's possible. I heard that him and...
Starts, babbling and shit, yeah.
I heard that him and Ric Flair were out late one night.
Yeah. He just starts babbling about shit and, oh, they're telling me it's time to end. You know, like, what the fuck? That was awesome. So, those are my real takeaways from the show. I mean, you know, you've gone all this way. Braun is smashing jobbers now. I don't know what the fuck that is.
Yes. I mean, fuck it. Really, there's no point in even analyzing the WWE. You know what I mean? There's like we could sit here and we could be like, why are they doing this? It's just what Vince came up with that week. There's no reason.
Usos became the champions by defeating the Revival, which like would have been a cool pay-per-view match if you built up like, wow, the Usos and the did that happen already?
Oh, I'm sure it probably did. I haven't watched a WWE show since WrestleMania in full.
You know, actually, because we were saying like, only they could make me not want to watch Usos and Revival. But that could have been a banger, 15-minute banger on a fucking SummerSlam or something.
100%. Do you see how the Revival have a pro wrestling tee store now?
What?
They're selling FTR shirts.
As the Revival?
They're selling them. They're selling independently. They're selling FTR shirts. Hashtag FTR.
Getting ready, dude.
Yeah. I suppose I don't know when their contract is up, but
well, they tried to get out and that didn't happen.
No.
So what the fuck? I don't know. That show sucked. SmackDown also sucked. The only takeaway I have from SmackDown is, you know, okay, use Shawn Michaels and have somebody fuck him up. A predictable but fair idea. Who do you choose? The most dead guy on the fucking roster, the biggest lost cause you have on the fucking in the company.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
I mean, there's an argument you could use Aleister Black. You could use
Andrade.
Yep. Many guys, but Dolph Ziggler is who they pick, and whatever is the WWE. I don't know,
dude. Tonight is Smackville.
Yeah.
Are you going to watch that? I'm not.
WWE Smackville. Ziggler and Rollins. Oh, boy.
Yeah, I got no interest in that. You know what I plan on doing tonight? I plan on playing the fuck out of Grand Theft Auto 5. That's what I plan on doing tonight. I know. Kind of dated. I know. The game's been out for years.
You late to the game? Or are you playing story or what?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No story. I bought 3 times that game. I bought it when it was a PS3 game. PS3 game. And then when I got my PS4, I bought it again. And I sold my PS4. And I bought a PS4 again a couple years ago. And I got Grand Theft Auto again, and I bought it on Amazon for dirt cheap. It was like some kind of sale, like Prime Days or whatever. I got it for something like $19, and it was in wrapper literally until like 6 months ago. I was just waiting to play it again, and I've finally started getting the itch again to play it, and I like it.
Yeah, I bought that game twice on 360 and then on Xbox One.
Oh, yeah.
It's great. The story mode is, you know, the story's great, but the online, I wish they would have focused on, if they'd have focused as much on making it fun as they do on like monetizing it and fucking you around and trying to fucking, you know, get money from people.
Yeah.
Then that game would have been awesome.
I wish they would have done like what they did with 4 and did some DLC. You know what I mean? Like,
Dude, they're not going to, the cash cow is their shit they've been doing. They're not going to.
Oh no. I like, know they're making way more money. Like, give me like a Lost in the Damned or something. You know what I mean? Like, Battle of the Gay Tony, I love those.
It's all about the fucking online, and it's making money still, and I don't think they're going to... That GTA Online's going to go for a long time, and if anything, it might delay the next GTA because...
I think they've already... there's been rumors running for like a year now that they're not going to... Especially with the success of Red Dead Redemption, that's going, and the Grand Theft Auto Online still being such a profitable market, there's no reason to make Grand Theft Auto 6 yet. Or at least release it.
Just this week, they put out a new like casino thing for the online.
Yeah.
Which is just the latest. Here's a new place to buy for a ton of money. And then you can do missions where you make some money, but not never your money back. And a bunch of new cars and shit that we want you to buy shark cards to get. And I fucked that game. I quit on that shit. Fuck Rockstar.
I've never played the online. It's not my thing. The online is not what I want to do. I just like playing the story mode and just fucking around in the world.
I've been playing... What the fuck am I playing lately? I've been playing Ark, still, Rocket League, and the new Worms. I think it's a pretty new Worms game. Worms MWMD.
Oh, yeah. I have the Resident Evil 2 remake. I've been prolonging playing that because I played it and forgot to save it. And now I don't really want to go back and redo what I did because that pissed me off so much. But yeah, there's that and Grand Theft Auto 5, really, that I've been playing.
Yo, there's a little fucking video game conversation. So on Wednesday, I went to Marilyn Manson and Rob Zombie.
Yes.
The Twins of Evil tour.
Evil.
And as on Wednesday, fucking... I don't even know where to start with it. We showed up early, so we avoided all of the Christians that were outside. I guess there's a bunch of Christians outside, God, like trying to convince people. You know, still? That's the first thing I thought, right? It was like, still? Like, they're lucky, man. They're lucky that they didn't fucking run into me out there. Because I don't give a fuck what I say anywhere, period.
No.
You know?
No, especially at a rock concert, fuck.
Like, anyone who's hung out with me knows, like, you never know, man. Like, I'll just say shit to motherfuckers. I don't care. So, like, I'll fucking... Once I had this bitch in front of me at Subway and, like, not picking her shit, and I'm just like, pick the fucking cheese! Just, like, straight up to her, you know? People aren't used to that shit when you act, you know, when you're just straight up about it.
Yeah, though, some people get really offended.
Yeah.
And it's like, fuck, and they're not, just like, trying they're to make fucking... your life easier.
It's not like they're going to try to fucking fight you or anything.
No, they're not going to be that big. And if they do,
fuck them, because it's already on film, so.
Yeah, like, that. Everybody's going to film it. So, like, that fucking bagel guy, like, fuck, that was fantastic. It was one of my favorite videos. That and, Terry! Terry! Oh, God, Terry!
How loud, Terry! Reverse, Terry!
Reverse, Terry, reverse! Yeah. I fucking love that.
Sidebar. This dude, he's a Middle Eastern guy. He owns a coffee shop here in town. He has for fucking ever. And he's a super great guy. You go in there, he's the nicest fucking guy. He sells you coffee. He got robbed this week. I guess some bitch. Some bitch and two dudes were in there. And she stole his tip jar. Huh. And, you know, most people would be like, well, whatever, I'll just report it. Or this motherfucker goes out there. And these two dudes kick the shit out of him. They like break his nose, fuck him up outside the store, I guess. And people filmed it. Now, I didn't see this footage, but it was like, oh, it was filmed. And if those are men, you are the biggest fucking pussies, dude. Women, okay, great. There's two guys beating on a guy. By all means, the best thing you could do, well, you should probably use your phone to call 911, you motherfucker.
Yeah.
But if that's already been done, fine, film it. But if those are dudes, you're a corny motherfucker. I'm not a badass. I don't think like, oh, I fuck people up, dude. But I, in that situation, I'd have grabbed the nearest thing I could have found as a weapon. And I'd have went out there and tried to fucking help this guy. At least if you get your ass kicked, at least you tried to help the motherfucker.
Yeah.
God damn it. Anyway. I guess Marilyn Manson and Rob Zombie are like rotating. You know, who's headlining?
Oh, okay. Who headlined yours?
Rob Zombie.
Okay.
So I didn't really remember. It seemed to me like Marilyn Manson's set was shorter, which is unfortunate because like I'm not really a Rob Zombie fan at all.
That's fair.
But you know, just pretty standard Marilyn Manson. Like, is he really drunk? I think he is. He babbles about shit in between songs that doesn't really make any sense. I'm like, what the fuck is he talking about? Even the crowd's like, yeah, what? He like stands there and smokes a joint, babbling about weird shit before starting the dope show. I'm like, okay. He was good though. His singing was on point. The band was great. The show was great. You know,
that's good.
He did a song off Antichrist Superstar, and they like, you know, brought out the podium for it. So he was up there and he threw a burning Bible into the crowd and shit. It was pretty fucking cool.
He threw a burning Bible into the crowd.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
nobody got hurt?
I don't know. Somebody got a hell of a souvenir, if you ask me.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. But, you know, somebody asked me, they're like, oh, I saw Marilyn Manson like last year, and he just like laid around on the stage most of the time. I was like, well, he was upright for most of it, so that's good. So, yeah, that was cool. But, you know, I'm an old school fan, you know, like, so I wanted to hear a bunch of songs that I didn't really get to hear.
Yeah.
Nothing off Portrait of an American Family. The only thing off Smells Like Children, of course, was Sweet Dreams. You know, even only one, the two songs off Antichrist Superstar. You know, so it was like, I don't know, not really playing the
back catalog that much. More of a just, greatest hits.
Well, yeah, you had Sweet Dreams. You had your fucking, you know, dope show.
Yeah.
Fucking Beautiful I don't know, people. Probably just, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So, you know, I wish I'd have saw a lot more of him, but overall I thought it was really good. The light show, you know, the lights and the production was all pretty fucking crazy.
Yeah, and but, you can expect that from a tour of that ilk too, hey?
No pyro though, which is surprising to me.
Fair enough. Rob Zombie have any big characters?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
And then Rob Zombie headlined, and I was like telling the lady beforehand, I'm like, this guy's only got four songs that anybody gives a fuck about. And two of them are White Zombie songs.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he's going to do covers. And sure as fuck he did. He did, you know, Backstreet Bop, and he did fucking Helter Skelter. Probably another cover in there too, I think.
Mm, yeah, because he had an album with a bunch of covers, didn't he? Like, after his taking off the makeup thing in the early 2000s, wasn't it mostly like he tried to do mainstream Southern rock or something, didn't he?
I don't know. A lot of it does have that Southern rock vibe to it, but, and he was actually fine. Usually I'm accustomed to, he's like always out of breath whenever I've seen live shit of him.
Yeah.
And he wasn't, he wouldn't fucking, I mean, he came out and really pulled the weight of, you know, being energetic, putting on a fuck of a show, making the crowd think that, like, oh, this is the best play. You know, like, he really did everything. Like, I give the guy a lot of props. And he sounded pretty fucking good, too. But
I seen a video from, like, was this recently on this tour where during the show, Rob Zombie led the crowd in a chant saying, fuck Marilyn Manson?
That was there 2 or 6 years ago.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. They have a strained relationship. Because everybody does with Marilyn Manson.
Yeah. Well, because nobody knows if Marilyn Manson is a, you know, like, if he's being really Marilyn Manson or he's just a gimmick. You know what I mean? That's what I've always heard.
Is like, I was trying to think of, what do you think you call that guy?
What do you call him?
You gotta call him Marilyn?
No.
Like, I'm saying if you're a fucking tech, if you're the drum tech or you're a roadie, you probably call him Marilyn, dude.
I guess, right? Yeah.
I bet you do. You ain't gonna call him Ryan.
No. I mean, you could call him Manson, I guess.
Yeah. I don't know, but Rob Zombie would do these interstitial things. And I don't know, I was like... I still, all week, I've been thinking about it, and I couldn't figure out where I've heard it before, kind of ripped off from. But it's like, it'll just be a driving, like, bleh, 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 and he talks over it really fast and kind of, like, preachy, you know?
Okay.
Like, are you looking to have a good time tonight? Well, you came to the right place, didn't I? You know, it's like, it's a weird thing. But every two songs, there would be like interstitial like this. And I'm like, this guy's got no songs. You know, he's got, like I said, he's got four songs anyone cares about, knows, and two of them are White Zombie songs.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I don't know. I am a White Zombie fan, you know, but of course, you just got Thunderkiss 65, More Human Than Human.
Yeah, that's the two. That's the only two big ones. And then you got Dracula, Living Dead Girl. I guess you could say Never Gonna Stop.
Yeah, five songs.
Yeah, that's all I really can tell you he does.
Yeah, pretty much it. But he put on a hell of a show, and his shit's cool because he's got tons of video screens.
Oh,
and then there's
like
three risers in the front. They all have video screens on the front. There's video screens everywhere. So while the shit's happening, you know, it's every song has cool shit happening in the background. And tits. One of them had tits.
What? Old,
like, women from the 60s, you know, like playing fucking guitars with their tits flapping around and shit.
That's weird.
I was like, can you do that? Can you put tits on a fucking, in a public display on something that's like all ages?
That's a question, eh? I don't know.
Anyway, it was all right at the end. The band who opened was Palais Royal. They fucking suck. And I don't think they fit at all, you know?
They weren't even like that kind of ilk. Hey, like just...
They're just not... I don't think the right genre to make any new fans, you know? So I thought that was weird. They weren't very fucking... They were good. They tried really hard, but I don't know. This show did not draw as well as the Slipknot show I went to in the same venue like 2 years ago. This, however, was a much more white trash fan base.
I mean, that's fair.
You think Slipknot. I mean, I think, like, if somebody's like, hey, man, does Slipknot have you think they have a white trash base? I'd be like, you know, I think they do. But nothing compared to, this show, man.
Yeah.
Fucking drunk savages everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I went to a Slipknot show here in Edmonton, and it was drunken savages. Yeah.
Well, they're definitely, but a lot of hot fucking goth broads, though.
Oh, yes.
A lot of hot broads dressed fucking sexy as shit with black fucking lipstick on.
Yeah, that's one good thing about those shows.
Fuck yeah. If it was came to your town or is coming to your town, I'd say go if you like, you know, either of them. It's a weird tour, man. It's going to the weirdest fucking places.
Just trying to bank on everybody, just get as much of that fucking cash they can.
Well, yeah, the whole tour is like, there's like Saskatoon and Winnipeg and all kinds of shit.
Oh, yeah.
It's Montana, Fargo, North Dakota. It's weird, like some Wisconsin, but not like Milwaukee or anything, like weirder places. So it's kind of a fucking weird loop, but I'd say go see it, no less.
There you go, Jim. We've suggested concerts. We've suggested video games. We've suggested wrestling. You got anything else you want to suggest? What about toilet paper?
Podcasts. Oh, dude, all about the Charmin Ultra Strong.
Of course. You want the softest stuff for your bum hole.
Yeah. They should be. No, it's not the softest because they have Ultra Soft. This is the Ultra Strong.
Yeah, but it's still soft because of Charmin.
Oh, yeah. Like, hey, you hate having shit on your fingers? Then buy this.
You hate having that smell of shit beneath your fingernails? Here you go.
You hate getting shit on yourself. What a great way to segue into pod shoutouts. I'm going to give shoutouts to all of our friends in podcasting. All these shows, the people are fucking awesome. Their shows are good, and we consider them friends, and we suggest their shows to you. In Search of My Lost Soul, our boy Bobby Anthem. Podcast, like, I don't know, maybe there's podcasts of this nature. Never anything I've heard, especially from somebody that, you know, we consider a friend. It's crazy to, you know, somebody come out and just have like a super personal, you know, podcast. It's awesome.
It is. I quite enjoy it. It's one of those ones that I look forward to hearing it when it comes out.
Yeah, definitely. So check that out. Wrestling Overdose with Shaheen, formerly of the THT podcast. Also Dirt Sheet Dudes, which is Boxman, also from THT. Get in the Corner, Yuck Nasty Dogga Baby. Fucking show is insanity. Inhuman Experience, which is the Bobbies.
The Bobs.
Blades and Anthem. Of course, The Strap, Wrestling's High Marks, regularly Scheduled Hostility. Fuck, that's a mouthful every time. Comedy Suplex, Much Love, Mikey G. And, yeah, They Live for Horror, of course, on this channel.
Of course.
Yeah.
Jared.
So, I think that's it, man.
I think so.
Looks like probably a long fucking show.
I feel like I need a nap.
Oh, dude. Definitely gotta take a nap. After I pre-bake some chicken for the badass chicken burritos that I'm gonna make.
Ooh, later. Exciting. Now he's suggesting food. You should put the recipe up on the Facebook page.
Oh, dude, no way. Real fucking Hispanic people.
It would hate you.
Oh my god, we make the whitest fucking tacos and burritos.
I do too. It's just like white old El Paso sauce.
Yeah. They couldn't be whiter. Like, the only way they'd be whiter is if they had fucking hot dogs for the meat, you know.
I will fully admit that when I make myself burritos, it is the whitewashed burritos that you think of. But yeah. I am a huge fan of going to like a traditional Mexican restaurant and getting the actual, you know, cuisine that they have there. It's so good. There's a place in Seattle called Mama's. Oh, my Jesus.
I actually got to get a lot of that shit because the owner at my job, his wife is from South America.
Mm.
Yeah. And her mother is also here now, too. But they send in food. They're like, he'll bring in food for the whole crew. And it'll be fucking enchiladas. It will be... Oh my god, all kinds of badass shit. What's that? I'm trying to think of what else we have. Burritos, tacos, all kinds of fucking, and it's all legit. There's like, yeah, fucking, there's like four different types of weird homemade green sauces, you know, with different shit in them.
Yeah.
Like, dude, if you got four green sauces to choose from, like, we are talking, man. But it's all legit ass shit, you know?
Yeah, burn your asshole bullshit.
Yeah, it shits upon my McCormick seasoning or whatever the fuck. Seasoning on meat with lettuce, tomato, sour cream. And shitty, what the fuck's that shitty taco sauce I use? Oh, Ortega.
Oh. I mean, you could use some sriracha. Fuck.
I have sriracha. I do.
I mean, everybody should have sriracha. Sriracha's a staple, in my opinion.
I love it. But that's it. Next week we'll be back. We'll talk more shit. G1. I guess we didn't even talk about the standings of the G1.
Fuck. No, I mean, fuck them.
Fuck them. Way it's setting up, the last show of the G1, Moxley versus Juice, I expect that will be to win the fucking bracket.
That's fair. That's fair. I can see that being truth.
Moxley is at 8. And Juice is at 6, as far as I recall. So that'll be good. But yeah, talk some New Japan. We'll see what else happens. You know, who else gets arrested for DUI?
Will Jay get arrested this week? Find out next week on SCL.
The tag team champions, dude. See if they lose them on Monday. Huh?
I mean, I doubt it. I doubt it. They didn't lose them last time they were arrested.
Last two times they were arrested. So that'll do it. Hey, thank you very much for listening. Back next week. Until then, may you get all the dick and or pussy you desire. Remember, a winner is you, and most importantly, be excellent to each other. Except Cody Collier, because he's a dick.
I got a feeling inside of me. It's kind of strange, like a stormy sea. I don't know why, I don't know why. I guess these things have gotta be. I've got a new rose, I've got a good. Guess I knew that I always would. I can't stop to mess around. I got a brand new rose in town. See the sun, it shines. Don't get too close or it'll burn your eyes. Don't you run away that way. You can come back another day. I've got a new rose, I've got a good. Yes, I knew that I always would. I can't stop to mess around. I got a brand new rose in town. I never thought this could happen to me. I feel so strange. Oh, why should it be? I don't deserve somebody this great. I don't know why, I don't know why. I guess these things have gotta be. I got a new rose, I got a good. Guess I knew that I always would. I can't stop to mess around. I got a brand new rose.